Welcome, everyone, to Celebrity Josh. That's the name of the podcast. That's sort of my name, but my main name is Josh Rackless, but I might change the podcast to, like, Spark, and I'm Spark, and this is Spark University, but we'll see what happens. It is September 14th, 2021, just after 3 p.m., and this is my third interview of the day, but I saved the best for last, unless I do another one later. Actually, Do I have one later? I don't know. I probably do. It doesn't matter. I've taken on too many interviews. But this is a special edition because it's, well, I don't know what it is. It's not really, it's sort of an interview, but it's like it's a TIFF special because right now Toronto International Film Festival is on and our special guest is Sarah Toomey from Toronto.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
It is very exciting for me. And for you, as it should be, because I'm awesome.
Yes.
And so I've been feeling nostalgic about TIFF because I lived in the building above TIFF, the headquarters, for like 10 years because I'm like, oh, I want to live in the film festival and I love film festivals and I'm an actor and a screenwriter. I even got a media pass for a couple of years, was interviewing people. And then it didn't occur to me. I guess last year for COVID, it was kind of shrunken down. It was mostly digital. And I forgot to apply to be a media person this year. And I forgot to go to Toronto. And maybe I still could. Maybe I should just get on a train or buses.
Sure.
Or I don't know.
There's still stuff going on.
What? So today's the 14th. What dates is TIFF on?
So we've been going since last Thursday. And I guess that's the day.
Was that the 10th? That was the 9th or something?
That was the 9th. So yeah. I guess we're day 6 at this point.
Oh my God.
You know, it's like that movie from the 60s, you know, if it's Tuesday, this must be Belgium. You know, during TIFF, you really have no idea what day it is. And I have to say that just before we connected, I realized how tired I am. And
nice.
I mean, I've got 11 tickets for in theater and I have 5 digital and I've only watched one and I'm not sure if I'm going to see all. I have one tomorrow. No, Thursday. And I'm not sure if I'm going to see them all because I kind of overbooked myself. And compared to last year, with the digital last year, you had 12 hours to watch one. So that was great. So if you were going to go see a film at one of the drive-ins, like they did, they're still doing that this year. So it was drive-ins and digital last year. So if you were going to do a drive-in, you could watch your movie, let's say, the next day over breakfast if you wanted. But this time around, they've set them up as appointment viewing. So you have 4 hours, and if you miss that 4 hours, it's done. So some of my choices might not actually go anywhere.
Let me just say who you are first, because I was going through Instagram looking for TIFF people. I thought, you know what, I'm not there. I don't have a media pass, but maybe I can interview people who are doing TIFF and stuff, like actors. And a couple of directors got back to me, and I messaged you because I saw that, you know, your bio says PR person, and you're at all these TIFF things. And then we were talking, and your name sounded familiar, but I didn't remember. You reminded me yesterday, like, oh, right, we met, because you used to hear me on the Humble and Fred show, and and you came up to me at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel once, and because of that, and I get, and then, yeah, we were talking, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're like a TIFF super fan. You go to all these things. And so now, yeah, we're getting some TIFF stories. And, like, you worked in PR? Like,
I'm still in PR.
Yeah.
No. So my specialization is primarily financial communications.
Right.
And 1 year, so I'm going to be referring to my TIFF bestie. Her name is Maria. She comes up from New York. And I just remember saying to her, as we were waiting for one of our galas to start, that wouldn't it be great to do what I do, but for the entertainment industry. So now I actually work for a retirement plan, and the members of this plan are all the behind the scenes workers, crew members of TV, theater, and film. And it's just really kind of cool that some of the people that I've seen, you know, at the theaters, the ushers, et cetera, they're my members. So it kind of goes full circle. So I'll give you a really quick history. So my dad taught broadcasting. He came from the States. He came up here with my mom. He started working with CBC, but eventually he got a job at Ryerson and was teaching broadcasting. And he had been a film buff since he was a kid. And when he was at the CBC, he met Elwe Yost. And when he left the CBC, they had this idea, because they were both around the same age, Elwie grew up in the prairies of Canada, and my dad grew up in Chicago. And they had this idea of, wouldn't it be cool to re-screen the cereals that we grew up with? You know, the kids used to take their nickels and dimes and go and spend a Saturday afternoon watching the movie serials. And that's what my dad was doing. And that, so they basically together created this show called Magic Shadows. And it kind of made Elwie Yost an icon in Canada because, you know, he would go down to Hollywood and interview all these really amazing golden era Hollywood actors and directors, etc. And he was so enthusiastic about it. He's like, we used to make fun of him at home because he was like, gosh, golly, like he'd used words like that. So my dad was created this show with Elwie and was on it for a little bit, working on it for a little bit. And then around that time too, he started going to TIFF when it first started in 76. And then in 05, my dad said to me, I'm done. I'm finished, but I want you to have my Elgin 6 o'clock gala tickets. And like, we thought my dad was a bit nuts. And my brother did this too, that, you know, the going back, I grew up in Don Mills. So the going back and forth to the theaters, back in the day, everything used to be in Yorkville, and I'm about a block away from Queen's Park. So, you know, we're talking about like three blocks north of where I live. So most of TIFF was right here back in the day. It was not really downtown. But the Elgin was still part of that. And as we know, or at least some of us know, the Elgin is the oldest, of the theaters in Toronto in terms of the way that it's a double decker theater. You have the Winter Garden on top and the Elgin on the bottom. And that was like one of like the 19th century, like movie houses and theaters, you know, so an old, old classic building. And I think they put it back together. They renovated it, I think, for one of the musicals years ago. But anyway, so my point is that my dad had given up. And in 05, 2005, he gave me all his tickets. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with all your tickets? Like, you know, because back in the day when you had to print them out, they were all attached. Mm. And I'm like, Dad, like, what the heck am I going to do with all, like, what? Just go. And so being in PR and growing up in media because of what my dad did, I've always been interested in the spectacle of things, you know, to be at that spot at that time and, you know, it's never going to be replayed. It's like a once in a lifetime thing. So I was at one of those once in a lifetime things because one of my tickets that year at the Elgin was Brokeback Mountain. And I was four rows behind the stars. And if you remember, that was Gyllenhaal and
Heath Ledger.
And that was the one and only time that Heath Ledger was ever in Toronto.
Wow.
And when the audible gasp of the first kiss of the couple, the two men in the tent. When that happened, I had like goosebumps and the hair in the back of my neck went up. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Like, this is a seminal moment that will never, ever be repeated again. And, you know, I was hooked after that. So I've been doing TIFF since 05, even last year, at least in one shape or another. Everything kind of got modified because I had a job that took me away from TIFF in 2019, but I came back and was able to grab a couple tickets, including The Sound of Metal. Well, that was amazing. So, but yeah, no, I've been doing this is my 16th year. It's very exciting. All right.
So you're one of those people like that. I used to write the ads for Visa and they sponsor a lot of TIFF stuff and official credit cards. So we'd shoot these short films about TIFF or commercials, and then we were always hearing about the super fans and people who line up all day. And they used to give us tickets. Like, they'd be like, here, who wants a ticket to this? And they'd hand them out, and sometimes I'd grab one and turn out to be something really cool or whatever. But yeah, I've always heard about you legendary people in Toronto who you buy the tickets for the whole festival, and then you line up, you have coffee, and then all day you're like, oh my God, I've got five more movies today, and you barely get sleep. And I'm like, I've never done that. Like, I always sort of just go, oh, right, TIFF's on, and I sort of wander around, and maybe spot Benedict Cumberbatch behind a bar at some point, but never plan it out.
The joke was, so back in the day, pre-COVID, I think the most I've had was 20, maybe 24 films. And the most films in a day have been four. And I mean, it's really funny after being, you know, working from home over the last year and a half, et cetera, and just feeling all kind of achy and, you know, sitting wrong at your home desk, you know, it's really kind of affected me sitting in the theater. And like, I never used to feel in pain, but I'm sitting here going, okay, this, everything is hurting. So the most I've done is two films in a day. And today I have one, I have Jagged, which is a documentary about Alanis Morissette. And
ooh,
of course,
cool.
You know, Jagged Little Pill and all that kind of stuff. And then tomorrow, go ahead. Yeah. So
she's from Ottawa and I'm in Ottawa.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And then tomorrow, I'll be seeing Kristen Stewart in Spencer at the apt location, Princess of Wales Theater. And I'm really excited about that. Not necessarily to see her so much, but to see how she does. You know, the
like
trailer looked really good. Yeah. So she plays Diana. I mean, this is so random.
Oh, Princess, you know? Diana. Wow.
So random.
Yesterday I was hearing a podcast. They were talking about Spencer, a detective movie series or something.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's good. This Princess of, or Spencer of, Duchess of, I don't know. What is Spencer?
So she, her family, there's like the Duke, right? So
right.
A few years ago, I think it was 2009, Tiff aired Duchess, which was about one of Diana's relatives that really had a life that was very, very similar to Diana's. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you should check that out. But what I can tell you as well, I was at the gala for Belfast, which is getting a huge, huge buzz. That's Kenneth Branagh. And you have the two leads of Katrina Balfe, who most people know it plays Claire in Outlander. And of course, her husband in this is Jamie Dornan, who a lot of people know as Christian Grey. Mm-hmm. So I had the pleasure of asking a question about, you know, the two of them have these iconic roles that they're known for. How did they come together and build this couple in the story? Like, how did they work together? Because their acting was so powerful. And it was really funny that somebody actually recorded it, and I found it on YouTube. And the best line at the beginning is, after I finished my question, and I'm up in the balcony, I'm in like C4 at Roy Thomson Hall, which is like the first balcony. And and then Karen Bailey is there, and he's repeating the question, and, you know, he's kind of like, finessing the part about the iconic roles. And Jamie looks up at me and he says, which iconic roles? And the whole audience breaks out laughing. It was hilarious. You know, it was really funny, but it was really funny because I also noticed afterwards that it was kind of part of the conversation on Twitter about, you know, after like people were talking about how good the film was and how funny that Q&A was. And I was like, oh, I know the person who asked that question.
See, now you're so famous. Funny. That should be in your Twitter bio, the woman who asked Jamie Dornan the question.
Yeah, that's true.
All you need is one thing, like that girl on Dr. Phil, like the Cash Me Outside, and then famous forever.
I've had a lot of 50 minutes of fame, which is kind of funny. Like, for instance, Thursday night, so Maria and I used to always, and this is how you and I bumped into each other. Since 2011, our habit was to go to our galas and then to go to the Ritz or to the Shangri-La. Because in 2011, the two hotels had a soft open for TIFF at the same time. So a lot of stars stay at either place. But we don't go for the stars. We go for a quick cocktail and something to eat because we've probably been in line before they changed the system. Used to be like we'd be in line for 2 hours trying to get the optimum seats. Even though I, at the time, was a patron member, I still had to wait forever for optimum seats. So by being in those locations, we inevitably would come across people that we had seen or that we were about to see. And we never asked for autographs and we never asked for photographs because we just, it's like the honor of being at their film and being able to say, like, thanks for coming to Toronto. We really enjoyed it, or we're really excited to see it, but whatever. So on Thursday night, everything has changed. You know, the the Ritz is not really, it's got this new gorgeous back bar. It's all renovated, but they don't have the same hours and you can't just sit at the bar, which is really, really annoying. So I went from having, they had early last call, which was really annoying because after I was at the Princess of Wales on Thursday night for back-to-back galas. So I was there from 5:30 until like 11:30, quarter to 12. And so to be told that you can't have a drink, I'm like, damn it. So I ended up going to one of my usual bars. And then on the way home, I happened to be passing Shangri-La and I saw that people were still there. So I went in and I just missed last call, but I knew the bartender well enough that he was willing to serve me. And I was talking to the people next to me. And these guys turned out to be producers and financiers of a movie that's coming out eventually, and that they had just premiered it at the Venice Festival. And it's called The Card Counter with Oscar Isaac. And they're hoping that this is going to, you know, knock him out of...
this will be his big breakthrough.
To go to a higher echelon. They're hoping he's going to get a nom, basically.
Yeah. Was he already nominated for, like, the where he was the music guy or something? I feel like maybe.
Oh, that one. I don't remember, actually, to be honest. But I said to them that I loved him in W.E., the movie about Wallace and Edward. It was done by Madonna, and people didn't like it because it was Madonna, but it was so slick and gorgeous, like a Vogue magazine. It was just, I still love that movie so much. It was a lot of fun. So I ended up hanging out with these guys, and we were invited back to what had been a toga party. These people who were living at the Shangri-La. So we went up there for a while to have a drink. And it was hilarious because people who were part of this party thought that I was industry. They only liked me because of that. When I bumped into them again and told them that I wasn't industry, then they kind of like sauntered off. But yeah, it was
that'll
really
teach you. You gotta just be like, yes, I'm industry.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, what can you do for me? Well, I'll think about it.
I'll think about it. Yeah.
I should do that next time. I'm just out of practice. Yeah. But I do have some funny stories for you if you want.
Okay. Did you see anybody in togas, by the way?
Well, the funny thing is that these people from that party were still wearing their togas when they came. Like, they had been into the bar.
So they just put on their sheets from their hotel room and walked around in togas?
Oh, no, see, okay, so the Shangri-La is similar to the Ritz where they have condos and then they have hotel.
Yeah.
So there's part of the tower, different entrance that are all the condo people. So these condo people were having the toga party.
Mm. Oh, so it's their own sheets.
And so, yeah, basically. And so oftentimes, similar to the Ritz, you'll be like hobnobbing with guests and then people who live in the building.
Yeah, that's what I always thought. That's why I bought a condo in the TIFF building. So I thought, oh, I'm going to hang out with movie star. And there's nothing. There was nobody. It wasn't a hotel, though. So no. My next place, I got to get in the Shangri-La or the Ritz.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. All right. Okay. So the toga party. I haven't had a toga party since university. I wonder what a grown-up toga party is like. Okay. So then, and I was back. I was in shape back then, too. I got to work on that. Okay. So, all right. So what was you're going to tell a story.
Okay. So in 2011, that's when the Ritz first soft opened. They didn't do a very good job of keeping us riffraff away from the stars. And one of the movies that was that my Maria and I were going to go see at the Elgin was Anonymous, and it was all about who was really Shakespeare. And what was fascinating about this movie is that you had Elizabeth the First being played by mother and daughter, Vanessa Redgrave and Julie Richardson. Okay. And so if you're familiar with the Redgraves, I mean, they're a huge, they're known for their theater experience. Like their father, the grandfather, was a huge theatrical actor, you know, and then his daughters and his other son, they all get into theater, but also acting, like a film acting. So, I mean, this family has been in acting for generations. So, of course, I'm like really enthusiastic in my early TIFF days. And I'm super not cool. And I'm bugging this poor lady about how amazing it is that I'm going to her gala. And I'm telling her and like yapping at her, poor thing, about how amazing it is to be at the Elgin because it's the perfect location for an Elizabethan film. Mm-hmm. Because this theater is so regal in that everything is like gold leaf, and you know, the seats are red velvet, and there's red velvet accents everywhere. And it's, I mean, it's a really rich, you know, from like a English royalty kind of place to be at. Like, how fascinating is this?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, that's great and everything, but I've just literally landed. I'm really jet lagged. I need to go outside and make a phone call, but thank you very much. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Of course, you know, I'll look forward to seeing you on the stage, whatever. So I used to, when I would go to the Elgin, my friend would be sitting down with these other girls that she knew. And I always wanted to sit in the box seat because it was like watching TV. And you kind of put your feet up on the chair, and I would, you know, be at home like this kind of thing in my box seat. So they did a Q&A, and there's like, you know, there's three levels of the box seats at the Elgin. And I popped down to the front one, and I was watching the Q&A. And as they were leaving the stage, I kind of called down to Miss Richardson, and I said, thank you very much for everything. It was great. It's a beautiful film. And she looked up, she recognized me, and she's like, you're right. Like, she remembered what I had told her about the theater. And to have her agree with me, I thought that was so fantastic. So that was kind of cool. In that same year, Ralph Fiennes came to present his Great Expectations movie, like his rendition. So I think he was an actor and a director on this. And in it was Holiday Grainger. Are you familiar with her?
Holiday Grainger.
Yeah. She was in The Borgias. So she's a gorgeous blonde British actress. She was also in the more recent, there's like a Mary, sorry, I can't speak. I'm so tired. I can't speak English. There's a mystery series that J.K. Rowling has come out under another name. Galbraith is the name that she's using. And the story
What's the
is,
point of a fake name if everybody knows it's you?
Well, because it, you know, at the beginning, she wanted to be anonymous, and now everybody knows. But anyway, so it's the, it's a, Cormoran Strike series of books, like modern day London, and he's working with her to solve these mysteries of people getting murdered, whatever. So anyway, so she's done that show too. So Holiday Grainger, she's also at the bar. The Ritz has still not done a very good job of keeping the riffraff away from the stars. And I'm telling her again, like, how great it is to go and see her. And I left her alone because I learned from the Julie Richardson conversation, like, just thank her. Leave her alone. Go away. Like, you, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I did. So
just plant the seed, and then they'll be
to say, "I can't wait to see you." Or it was great tonight. Glad you're in town. Bye. Right. Yeah. So go away now. So my friend and I, we go to the back bar, and now it's like back when they first opened, it was completely different because there used to be a full bar against the wall. If you're familiar with like they have this huge courtyard area of the back bar, The back bar was called The Deck, and now it's called Epic. But anyway, so The Deck was designed differently, and we were sitting at the bar, and there'd be like different tables behind us, like group tables behind us. And we were really surprised to see that the entire cast, including Ralph Fiennes and Holiday Grainger, sat down at a table behind us. They were minding their own business, and we were minding our own business. And what I thought was really fantastic was that we left them alone, and no one preemptively came over and told us to leave. Like, there had been a story going on about how Brad Pitt and Angelina, when they were still together, I think that was the same year that they were showing the, I think it was the traitor Rob Ford, funny name, you know, assassination of Billy the Kid or whatever, you know.
That
movie.
Really long title.
Oh, my God, yeah. So the rumor was that he had been there for a party and wanted to use the whole back deck, and they had kicked people out. So that was, we were like, oh my God, can you believe that Ralph Fiennes is like 6 feet away from us and Holly Granger, and no one's telling us to leave, and they're minding their own business and we're minding our own business. And that's really cool. Like, this is great. Like, so that was really cool. So that was 2011 at the Ritz.
Maybe they were thinking the whole time, should we talk to Sarah Toomey? And they're like, no, play it cool.
Yeah. It's like, because you never know, she might not be in a good mood.
Yeah, yeah. It's right. We've heard she things.
She might be jet lagged. So 2014 was a year that they brought the movie The Riot Club to TIFF. And the story with that is you have this, it's one of the, like the top college universities in the UK. So maybe it's Cambridge, okay? So, or Oxford. So one of the schools. And they have the secret society that it takes a lot for these guys to join the secret society. Like they're rushed, you know, if you're familiar with the fraternity system.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would rush you. That's not usually, that's not the word I'm looking for, but they'd put
like
you
if, not indoctrinate, but
well, they would, yeah. So rushing is like when you're getting to know the house, but there was hazing is what I was trying to say.
Okay.
So they would do some serious hazing, right? So this movie starts out like really, you know, very posh, and you know, you're getting to know the characters really well, and then it starts to kind of spiral out of control as they're showing you what the hazing looks like to join this club. Mm. And I mean, I've been to some shocking films before, but I mean, there was something that I saw that I just had to completely look away. Like I was like this, like I had to completely turn away from the screen. But what I loved was like the men in this film, like we've all seen them. If you're like, I watch a lot of British films, and a lot of these guys have, you know, continued on. It's interesting to see like where they've ended up after that film. Right. So one of the guys was the son of Jeremy Irons, which is really cool. And the other guy was Sam Claflin, and he's stunning, gorgeous man. And I was saying to Maria, because Maria couldn't get a ticket for it, that, oh, you have to see this. So she's going to see the replay. So I was really excited about it. And that night, we were going to go to the Ritz again, because that's where we live, basically. And there was this girl that I knew who was a model, and he was going to come and visit see us for a drink. And she apparently texted me that day and said, do you know how to get a ticket to the James Franco party? And I'm like, are you kidding? I don't have that kind of access. I have no idea. She's, oh, okay. I'll figure it out. So apparently, she figured it out and got herself into a James Franco party. And Dave Franco was in town, shooting stuff, some show. And apparently there was tons of other models at this thing drinking way too much and like falling everywhere. So that was kind of the theme of the night. So my friend was late, and I'm like texting her, well, where are you? Oh, we're leaving now. I'm bringing everybody with me. And I'm saying to Maria, I don't know what this means. It's like, everybody, who's everybody? Like,
yeah.
And so she shows up with two like regular Torontonian friends and Dave Franco, for God's sakes, who looks like a mini me version of James. And he had like a beard and everything. And this is before he got married to, I forgot her name, but anyway. So,
oh yeah, the girl from the wrestling.
Yes. So he sits down, and we're all in like, this is again the old design of the deck with like kind of loungy couches and chairs and tables, and so we're sitting with him and just having a drink, and we're having a regular conversation with him, you know. And Maria and I look at each other and like, can you believe this? This is very strange. Like, we're having a regular Saturday night with this guy, and it's completely normal, and it's really nice, and he's really cool. So that was great. He tells me that he hated his brother's party because all these stupid models were falling over, having drunk too much, and they were, you know, wiping out, etc. So
I hope I get to the point in life where a party full of models getting drunk is like, that's, I need to leave. I've had
it. Right? And it was really, really funny. Sorry. Okay, so people were coming up to him and, you know, asking for pictures and autographs and whatever, and that was fine. That was no trouble. And then it was time for us to go. So, you know, as you do on going out with people on a pub night or whatever, you're kind of easing your way out the door. and people are popping into the loos and whatever else to get, you know, to get ready to go home. So Maria's getting a little bit antsy because she has 11 o'clock the next day, which was going to be Riot Club. And by this point, it's like 1:30, 2 o'clock or something like that. And we're all standing around waiting for people to come out of the washrooms. And all of a sudden, Sam Claflin walks past us with a, you know, talking to somebody on the cell phone, goes into the men's. And I'm freaking out. Maria, did you see who that was? And Dave Franco's looking at me like...
Yeah, see, you blew it because Dave thought, oh, maybe she likes me, and now you're like Googling over.
No, Dave Franco.
I know,
knew
I'm
that,
just joking.
Yeah. So Dave Franco knew me and Maria were completely cool because he was confiding in us, saying like why his brother's party was so lame.
Yeah.
And so I'm freaking out. I'm like, I'm really sorry, Dave, but I saw this movie tonight, and I'm just like, oh my god, it's so cool. So eventually he comes right out again, and I'm like, I'm really sorry to bother you. You know, I was at your show tonight. And I just loved it. And don't worry, I'm not a stalker. And he goes, I think I would know if you were a stalker. And, you know, I would have seen you like behind me miles away. I'm like, okay. But I really loved the show tonight. It was so fantastic. My friend over there is going to see you tomorrow. And it's great. And have fun. And he was super, super cool. Really, really nice guy. So Sam Claflin, he's
were
done
you
a
like,
lot.
Hey,
since.
Were you like, and this is my friend Dave Franco. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. It's like. Me and Dave Franco, we go way back.
Yeah.
But I was pointing to my friend Maria, like, yeah, you gotta see her. You gotta see her. But I think I have one more that's a little bit longer, but it's not like a half an hour long, so I can promise you that. But I think you might find this funny. Do you have time for one more?
Yes. And if just so people know, like I got the 20% battery warning on my phone. So at some point I might unplug my headphones and then plug in the charger. But if that causes the recording to stop, I'll just start recording and then I'll paste them together in iMovie later. So now everybody knows what might happen. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, I promise you that I'll be.
Just tell the story. Yeah, it's just.
I took notes to keep myself because when I tell it to regular people, it's always around the block and so.
It's that complex a story. You've got a script.
So 2016, two films were shown here, and Maria and I went to go see both, and they were on the same night. The first one was Nocturnal Animals that she really, really wanted to see because it was directed by Tom Ford, you know, the designer.
Fashion guy? Yeah.
Yep.
And then
yep.
Starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep, yep, yep. And Amy Adams and Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Ooh, and from Kick-Ass.
Yep, yes. And also Michael Shannon was in it. So we were at Princess of Wales, and we always used to sit in the fifth row. And I'll be on this aisle seat, and Maria would be here. We'd be like right here to the stage and the, you know, the Q&A and everything. So, you know, I asked a question about the intensity of the acting to Aaron Taylor-Johnson. And it was really, really cool. And then we ran over to Roy Thompson Hall to see Loving, which was that Ruth Negga was the woman in Loving. And that's about a biracial couple who fought to the Supreme Court to stay together because their state was saying, no, they can't do that.
Oh, right. So, the white guy was that guy from that Egyptian movie, Joel or Joe?
Yeah, Edgerton.
Yeah.
Edgerton. Yeah, he's an Australian guy. Yeah. So we just thought that was great. Like, we loved both movies. I wasn't really, really big on Nocturnal Animals, but like, we had a fun night. So we, at this point, had our fill of going to the Ritz. We'd been there a few times already, and I'm like, well, let's just go see what's going on at Shangri-La. Yeah, okay, let's do that. So we go over, and it's not too busy, and we get a seat, whatever, at the bar. And at one point, I excuse myself for a minute, and I kind of bump into Amy Adams going up to her room. I'm like, was that your show tonight? It was great, thanks. You know, just kind of leaving her alone, like, great time. And come back, and I tell Maria I just saw Amy Adams, right? So that was the first time. And then Aaron Taylor-Johnson shows up with his two handlers. And now we're having a normal chat with him. Because I'm like, oh, you know, I was the one who asked you that question. Whatever. And so Marie and I are talking to him just basically about his career. And the two handlers behind him are getting pissed off because they want to order a beer. They want a drink. And all he's doing is this. Like, shut up and get the damn bartender to come over and get us a drink. It's really, really funny, you know, because we weren't like falling all over him. We're just like, shoot the shit. We're all standing here at the bar, you know.
Sure, that's why you're at the bar to meet people to talk.
Right?
That's why they're
and it was
there.
Really, really funny. So eventually, when I take Tiff, I'm on vacation, and when I'm on vacation, I might have a cigarette. And so I said to Maria, okay, I'm going to pop outside. Do you want to come? Sure. Let's go outside. So if you're familiar that there's two main entrances, at the Shangri-La, you had this gorgeous lounge area where the elevators are and the reception is as well. It's like huge, gorgeous space, gigantic space.
And the fish swimming under the glass on the floor.
Yeah. So that's one door that leads you out onto university. And the back door is where all the guys... I say guys, but the people park their fancy, fancy cars.
Yeah,
like, there are a lot of fancy cars.
The car sort
it's like a car park thing. Right. Yeah. So we went out that way because that tends to be kind of like the designated smoking area. It's less of a walk to from distance wise. Anyway, so that's where we went. So this gigantic, tall, very good looking black man comes out. And, you know, during TIFF, you kind of assume that everyone's there for TIFF, right? And he's close enough to us while, like, Maria's watching me smoke and this guy's going to have a cigarette too. And so you just strike up a conversation. You've already had a couple drinks, so you're, like, talking to everybody. So I say to him, are you here for TIFF? Like, what do you do? Are you here for TIFF? No, I'm a music producer and I was supposed to meet somebody for a drink tonight. Oh, yeah, okay. So keep in mind this is, like, 2016, okay? And there had been rumors about Drake and Rihanna dating. Mm-hmm. And so this guy, this music producer, is in that genre. And we ask him, do you know Drake? Just for shits and giggles. I hope that's okay. I hope that.
We'll see what happens.
Anyway, so I'm like, for giggles, do you know Drake? Yeah, I've worked with Drake before. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And so I'm like, I'm making a joke, right? I'm like, did Riri like? So what happened with the drink? Well, the person never showed up. And I was like kidding with him. I said, oh, did Riri stand you up? And he's like, shut up.
Way.
Shut up. And I'm laughing my butt off. I think that's so funny. So we move off from that, and he brings out this baggie full of weed. This is before weed was really, really legal. And he starts rolling this gigantic joint. Like, it looked more like a cigar, okay? It was huge, okay? Or a cigarillo. But, like, it was, like, long and, like, pretty thick. I'm like, oh, my God, that's crazy. So we're talking about our phones. And I guess, like, at the time I had an iPhone, and Maria had an iPhone. And the guy goes, well, I've got... I still have a BlackBerry, but then I have this other phone. I guess it was an Android or an iPhone or whatever. He goes, you know, but I still love my BlackBerry. And I made the joke and I said, well, you know, once you go Apple, you never go black. And he just bent over laughing. He thought it was hilarious. Okay, mind you, by this point, it's like 2:30 in the morning. We're all a little bit punchy, right? But he thought that was hilarious. So all of a sudden, Ruth Nega shows up. So she comes out with her friend. And Ruth Nega had been wearing this gorgeous outfit, and she had these kind of, they reminded me of Minnie Mouse, red velvet clunky shoes. And I said, like, she came over asking for a light, and I just gave her my own lighter. And I said, my friend and I love your shoes. And she's like, how could you see them so far up? I'm like, we're in the balcony next to yours. Like, who wasn't that far up? Like, come on. So it was nice chatting with her.
So who's Ruth Nega?
Ruth Nega was in The Preacher, you know, that TV show. So she's half Nigerian, half Irish.
Interesting.
And she's petite and has really like a beautiful pixie face, and her hair is really, really short. She's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And so she played the key role, the female role in Loving.
Oh, right. We talked about her.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So she's stunning. So So you have the guy smoke, and she's like reacting to the guy smoking the weed, like, oh my God, that's strong. Oh my God, shit, that's strong. So she's there with her friend. I'm there with Maria. The producer guy is smoking his doobie. Michael Shannon comes out.
No.
And now I'm completely obnoxious, and I'm like talking to him, and I'm like, oh, I'm the one who asked the question to air. He goes, I know, I was there. And I'm like, okay, I'll leave you alone. Sorry.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, Deborah, like if I ever see Michael Shannon in a dark alley, I'm going to turn around and go the opposite way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother him. I mean, that guy is scary. Let's see.
Fighting Superman, man.
He's fighting Superman. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, no, but that was the craziest story, really, that happened that night, that we saw everyone that we had seen on stage that night except for Edgerton from Loving. But to have that kind of a crazy ensemble right there at the parking lot, and a guy who may or may not have been stood up by Rihanna.
yeah, we still don't know whether he was joking, you know?
And just like his reaction was so like, oh, don't say that. But
yeah. And really, like, it's Tiff, like there's stars everywhere. So like it has to be so secret that she was gonna come to the bar. Like,
but the fact that she like, if she was supposed to and she didn't, that's really funny.
That's funny. It's funny on so many levels.
Exactly.
Wow. So here, I'm at 10% here. So I'm just going to, I'm going to unplug this and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll just keep going.
I see you.
Oh yeah. We're still in business. Okay. Yes. So yeah, when I unplugged this yesterday, for some reason, the call ended. So maybe I hit a button or something and I'll plug it in. All right. So we're still in business here.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So, I mean, you're living, that's the Tiff dream, to just sort of be standing outside a hotel and have the cast of everything come and hang out with you and laugh with you.
That's why, you know, what Maria and I do during Tiff is we go and see our films and then we go and have fun, right? And it's all about just kind of being in the space, being at not so much about the right time, but just going and being someplace and see what happens. And we don't try to chase it. You know, we're not like some people who are camping out. I saw a ton of pictures, for example, two different locations of people waiting out for Jamie Dornan to get pictures with him and get his autograph. And, you know, I'm too busy recovering from having gone to see the film and gone out afterwards, you know? So this year, they're keeping a lot of people pretty segregated from the fans. They're not really putting stars in the midst of fans because they don't want to. They're worried about COVID, basically. So it's a little bit different this year.
Yeah, so that's makes me feel a bit better about missing it, I guess.
Yeah.
Last year, I don't think I really missed anything.
No one did.
but I don't know. But even hearing your stories from this week, I'm like, you know what? It's only Tuesday today. I could just zip down and...
You could.
I don't even know what I would do. I guess hotels exist. I mean, I know how the world works.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you live downtown still?
Like I said, do, yeah.
Yeah.
So you just... I live on Bay Street. So getting down there is not hard.
Do they still... Because they used to have events... Was it Bank Street? Like there's that hotel and then across the street, that event space where I went to the Vanity Fair party a few times.
There was apparently something happening. I think it was last night at where they used to have the Vanity Fair, but over here. What's that hotel called?
I forget. Like it's the fair. It's not the.
No, but it's anyway, it's they renovated it while ago.
It's condos or maybe not.
It was half and half. Right. That's what they're doing now. It's all the rage.
Wow. So yeah, there's still fun stuff going on. Well, maybe I'll decide to sit down for a couple of days just to.
Yeah, you never know.
I just love the energy. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if it was hard to get into parties before, I'm sure with COVID, they're not letting you sort of BS your way.
No, I think it'd be really hard. Yeah, and you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing Dune on Saturday. And all the stars are going to be gone by then. But it's going to be the Cinesphere. Seeing it in the Cinesphere, which is iconic.
What is that?
You're not familiar with the Cinesphere? That's the IMAX theater, the Cinesphere at Ontario Place.
I was going to say, is that Ontario Place? Oh, my God.
Yep. Yep.
Because I mean, I used to go there as a kid. You'd see, like, you know, massive movies and stuff. So Ontario Place, like, what are they talking about? Tearing it down or turning it to condos?
Who knows? Still exists? Knows. Yeah, yeah. It's still there. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be insane.
Yeah.
So I guess they must have, I mean, if it was the premiere, they would still, like, the director and everybody would
no,
be
but
there.
No, but the premiere happened a couple of days ago, and they took some fantastic pictures. But yeah, no, it's over now.
Okay, so Timothée Chalamet and all those guys, Oscar Isaac, were all there.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably. I think
so. Wow, that's pretty fancy. Oh, my gosh. Huh. So yeah, some good energy is still happening around there. Well, I'm glad my podcast has the Sarah Toomey correspondent now anyways. So we can...
Well, those are the stories I prepared for you for today.
Those are great stories. Now I can, you know, put a title on the podcast saying, you know, TIFF stories of, like, legendary. We can all, it feels like we were all
Riri stood me up.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the stuff, see, that's the stuff I always wanted to experience. Like, I don't really care. I always figured, you know what? I could go to a movie, but I can go to a movie anytime. I can watch it anytime. I just like walking around and hoping I'll bump into somebody who'll say they were stood up by Riri or whatever. Like, I don't really have many stories. I remember I was walking around, what's that hotel at Bathurst and Lawrence?
No clue.
Like, what's that?
I have no idea.
It's got like the 24-hour diner underneath it.
Bathurst and Lawrence. No, that's
like,
not what you meant.
It's
no,
like
no,
a
no.
hotel. It's like
yeah, that's not. Bathurst and Lawrence is north. You're talking about the one downtown?
Sorry. That's where my grandmother lived, Bathurst. I'm talking about King and Bathurst.
Yes. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Anyways, like they have a party space. I remember I was behind it once just seeing if I could get in. I saw Benedict Cumberbatch like talking to the bouncer saying, excuse me, can I get in? And he's like, I don't know who you are. And I'm like, that's Khan or something. Like
Oh my God.
So I got a little selfie with him in the background, but I don't think I talked to him. Or I think he was with his mom or something. And that's pretty much my only thing. Like, you know, I'd usually be, I don't know, I got on the red carpet a few times, so I actually interviewed some people, but I don't know if I wound up partying with anyone. Mm-hmm. I got into the Vanity Fair party with an actress I knew once, and I served dessert to Jessica Chastain, and so yeah, little things like that, or you walk past Juliette Lewis, you're like, oh my God, I walked past the star, like at a party.
Cool
things like that, I don't know. And then I always tell myself, you know what? No, I'm just going to work on my screenplays. And then one time I'm going to go to TIFF and I'll be the one that everybody's coming up to talk to. Yep. And I'll have power and whatever. I still haven't gotten there yet. So I still just need to walk
but
around.
But I have to cut us short because I have to run an errand and my movie's at 7.
All
so.
Right. All right. Well, have fun. Maybe if
thank
I
you so much.
Toronto, I'll let you know.
Great.
And thanks so much. And yeah, collect more stories for us.
I'm going to try my best. We'll never see. We'll never know. I mean, okay. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.